back to No Flags, No Filter. I'm your host, William Masucci.
I'm Brett Jenks.
And today we'll be reviewing and recapping everything that happened in what was a absolutely crazy week 5 of the NFL season. I'd say probably the craziest week yet. And so to jump right into things, we're going to start off with last Thursday's game. We had the San Francisco 49ers traveling to the Los Angeles Rams in a battle of some NFC West hopefuls. I think right off the bat, I've been pretty pleasantly surprised with what the 49ers have been able to do with all these injuries this year. I've been extremely impressed with Mac Jones and how he stepped in there and filled in and really managed that game well. And, man, I think Mac Jones is going to earn himself a job somewhere next year playing like that. I was also really impressed with Kendrick Bourne of the 49ers. And then, of course, I was really impressed with Christian McCaffrey. He had a lot on his plate, and he really stepped up. On the other hand, Matthew Stafford, he's just continuing. It looks like he's almost playing the best football of his career. I mean, he's lighting it up game after game. You know, the Rams could have easily won this game. This was a great game. He's done just an amazing job of getting the ball to his weapons. You know, Davante Adams and Puka Nacua have just been getting fed. Now, the Rams' run game, on the other hand, I think it could use some work. Kyren Williams hasn't been as reliable this year as he has been in years past. But I'm not worried about the Rams at all. I still think they are definitely in it for this NFC West title. I think it's going to be a tight one. But, yeah, I'm really impressed with the 49ers so far.
Yeah, the Rams are the better team in this game, but the 49ers just found a way to win, and they got it. Stopped Kyren Williams on 4th-and-1, which sealed the game, gave the Niners possession and marched down the field to kick a field goal. The NFC West is still tight. I don't think the 49ers' trend of winning games like this is going to continue. Right now they're playing really well. Mac Jones is looking just as good as Brock Purdy, so I don't know what that tells you about the contract they gave Brock Purdy. He'll be the starter when he comes back because you can't not start the guy who's you're paying $265 million to play quarterback instead of $4 million. But if it gets to a point where just Brock Purdy looks so much worse than Mac Jones, you just have to start Mac Jones at that point because Mac Jones looked elite in this game.
100% he did. And now moving on to the first game of the NFL London Games this year, we have the Minnesota Vikings traveling to London after the game in Ireland to play the Cleveland Browns. And so, obviously, the Cleveland Browns going into this game, they made the decision to bench quarterback Joe Flacco, and they went with Dylan Gabriel, which I think was definitely the right choice. And I think he, even though the Browns lost this game, I think he proved them right in this game. I think Dylan Gabriel played a really nice game for his first career game. And I was pretty impressed with him. I think Quinshon Judkins played a great, great game for the Browns. Definitely his best game so far. And Minnesota, on the other hand, Carson Wentz continues to just look a lot better than J.J. McCarthy. I can't lie. He's really managed that Kevin O'Connell offense really well. And I really think that potentially, like at this point, I think J.J. McCarthy's healthy. I think he's just being held out at this point. And I wouldn't be surprised if they continue to start Carson Wentz under the illusion that J.J. McCarthy is injured. But, yeah, I've been really impressed with Carson Wentz. He did a great job of getting the ball to Justin Jefferson. Jordan Addison, he was kept out of the first quarter because of a coach's decision, and then he came in there and caught 5 passes for 40 yards and a touchdown, so that was nice to see. And Minnesota's defense, they kind of underwhelmed me this game, you know. Usually Brian Flores, his defense, you would expect it to be really good at, you know, dialing up pressure against especially a rookie quarterback in his first start. They didn't necessarily do that. They did only hold the Browns 17 points, but it is the Browns. But, yeah, I'm not really surprised with the outcome of this game, and I think Carson Wentz has continued to do a nice job in Minnesota.
Yeah, there isn't really much to say about this game. It seemed kind of boring almost. It was pretty underwhelming for the Vikings. You'd expect a bigger win than 4 points. But that being said, the Browns did play one of their best games this season. Dylan Gabriel looked like he had a rookie start. I mean, 2 touchdowns, not great completion percentage, not great passing, but he looked solid enough. He looked better than Joe Flacco would have. But that being said, the whole offense relies on Quinshon Judkins and the ability to, like, have the run game and get yards and get push in the O-line. I really don't know what was going on with the Vikings defense. Brian Flores is usually better at that, especially making those rookies, like, making them think more. It didn't really seem like Dylan Gabriel had to think all that much. He kind of just getting his reads and going, he's throwing it off to Isaiah Bond or Jerry Judy. So this is a good win for the Vikings, but it's not a great win.
I agree with that. And now moving on to the Raiders traveling to the Colts. And, I mean, the Raiders just got absolutely destroyed. There's no other way to put it. And I've just been really, really unimpressed with the Raiders so far. I mean, their offensive line is just a mess. You got Geno Smith, who's thrown 9 picks in his first 5 games. And I don't think that's all his fault. He's been under so much pressure because of how poor that O-line is. I don't know if some of y'all have seen this stat, but going into week 4, Ashton Jeanty has more yards after contact than yards before contact, which just, I think, tells it all about the O-line. And then Geno Smith just doesn't really have any great weapons thrown to. I mean, Jacoby Myers, he's pretty good. Brock Bowers was out this game, obviously. That's his biggest threat. But, yeah. I mean, I'm not really surprised that the Raiders are this bad with the offensive line they have, but, I mean, that offensive line has just been horrendous thus far. And on the other hand, the Colts have just – they've continued to look like one of the top dogs of the AFC. Daniel Jones just playing game after game very, very well. Jonathan Taylor is continuing to look like his old self, looking like one of the best running backs in the NFL. And just no surprise for me with this game. The Colts, they're continuing to look elite, and I can't wait to watch the Jaguars and the Colts battle out for the AFC South.
Yeah, I love this. This is so great. I love seeing Indiana get back at the winning column. I want to see them have the best year of football they've had since Peyton Manning. That'd be awesome, especially with Daniel Jones. That's a great storyline. Hat trick for Jonathan Taylor. That's awesome. Daniel Jones balling out. They were up by so much, they put Anthony Richardson in, which tells you how far and away this game got. There's going to be a conversation to bench Geno Smith, and it's probably the right conversation, but they don't really have anyone that I'd want them to start. I feel like you have to trade for someone. The problem with that is there's no one to trade for, really.
Kirk Cousins.
They could trade for Kirk Cousins. That's a big contract. I wouldn't do it. I don't know who you trade for, but just 8 interceptions. It might be more now. He's not been playing well. It is bad football he's playing, and these picks are his fault. It's not like it's like O-line's getting pushed back. He's just trying to throw something up. He's just throwing something up because he's too aggressive, but he doesn't have the O-line to give him enough time, and he doesn't have the playmakers to actually get that separation enough. So, he's not playing like – he doesn't have DK Metcalf. He doesn't have JSN. So it doesn't look good. And you only have Ashton Jeanty and you only have Brock Bowers. And you don't have an O-line. You're not going to win any football games. The Colts, I'm very excited. Their defense is great. Their offense is great. And it should be a great season for them. The Raiders, they're going to bench Geno Smith in the coming weeks.
I could see that, too, if they can trade for somebody to trade deadline. Moving on to the New York Giants, traveling to New Orleans for the Saints. You know, it's hard to win a football game when you commit 5 turnovers, and I think the Giants definitely saw that. You know, Jackson Dart threw 2 picks, and they had 3 other turnovers. So not really surprised with that. I mean, it's impossible to win a football game when you turn over the ball that many times. And so the Giants went – they opened up with a nice 14-0 lead, and then the Saints just – they rallied back. And I think what the Saints are kind of proving is that they're not terrible. I mean, they're one of those scrappy bad teams. They're going to stay in games. We saw that with the Bills last week. And now we're seeing this with them kind of producing a pretty nice win against the Giants. Spencer Rattler has continued to just not look as bad as I thought he would. He's looked pretty decent. He did a great job of getting the ball to Rashid Shaheed and Chris Olave, probably the best yet this year. I've still been pretty unimpressed with New Orleans' run game. Kamara's just looking
old
this year, and I'm expecting them to trade him at the trade deadline. I think that's kind of a given at this point. He just kind of looks like he's playing uninspired football. And the Saints defense as well, I mean, it's just their defense is really old. Like, all their stars are aging. Cam Jordan, DeMario Davis, you know, guys who are both mid-30s at this point. But with all being said, I mean, I was pretty impressed with the Saints this game, and I don't think they're going to be an easy out for anyone this year.
Yeah, this showed that Jackson Dart's first game, if you like, oh, he's the best quarterback in the league, is an overreaction. He's a rookie quarterback. That one game that he had 2 touchdowns in isn't really going to mean anything. It's more about the rest of the season. This isn't a game to bench him over. This is a learning game. It's a learning game against a bad team, though. You got it out of the way, but this is a game you want to have back and you want to win because this you really should not be 1-4 right now. But the quarterback did it, and it's over now. You just got to learn from it. Spencer Rattler is not playing bad. His team is playing bad around him, and I feel like this game showed that. Of course, they did have 5 takeaways, and that helps your team out a lot. because you can get the ball back whenever you want, apparently. But Spencer Rattler is not that bad. He just doesn't have the O-line for it. He has a lot of aging stars around him. Defensively, Demario Davis. Offensively, Alvin Kamara. And, I mean, they just need to kind of reset and build around him more. But I feel like he could definitely be their – I don't know if he's their franchise guy, but he can be their guy for the next two or three years until they get a better quarterback from this stacked upcoming quarterbacks classes.
Yeah, I think Rattler's proven to be a capable bridge guy for the Saints. And now moving on to the Dallas Cowboys traveling to New York to play the Jets. The Cowboys' offense has continued to just look really, really good. Also, the Jets' defense has not been very good. But still, the Cowboys' offense has just looked really, really good this year. Dak is, I think, pretty quietly playing some of the best football of his career. I think it's kind of going under the radar. You know, he threw for 237 with four touchdowns, no picks, 127 passer rating. And Javonte Williams, I mean, that was his best game for the Cowboys this year on the ground. That was the best game for the Cowboys on the ground this year.
Might have been his best career game.
Oh, yeah. He easily could have. I mean, Javonte Williams, he had a great rookie year with Denver, and then he just kind of flatlined. So it was nice to see a little bounce back from him. And, you know, Dak really proved that he can – it doesn't really matter who's out there. He's going to get the ball out and to his receivers. And, I mean, I think we kind of saw that with Ryan Flournoy catching six passes for 115 yards. He also got the ball to Pickens again. He threw a 43-yard touchdown to Pickens, which was nice. Jets, on the other hand, I mean, they're 0-5 at this point. They've dug themselves a very deep hole at this point. Like, your playoff hopes are kind of over at that point when your record is 0-5. Fields, I mean, it's kind of disappointing because I feel like Justin Fields is playing some pretty good football this year. I think the best football of his career, but it's just kind of – it's going unnoticed because the Jets just – their defense is just so bad. I don't really get it. It's definitely disappointing. I don't understand what happened to that New York Jets defense.
It should
just
be good.
It hasn't been good. And, I mean, I'm once again asking a question. I mean, was it just Saleh and Jeff Ulbrich that were, like, carrying that defense with play calling? I don't know. But I feel like they've got some studs out there. They should still be good.
Yeah, I mean, Sauce Gardner got embarrassed in that catch by George Pickens. That was rough. Ryan Flannoy is going to be their wide receiver too, I'd imagine. That was a great game from him. Dak has got to be up there in the MVP running. I mean, he is balling out. I don't know what's going on with him. That they had four backup O-linemen starting with four pressures and zero sacks. That's a great job by the backup O-line. It's basically all five backups, though, because that right tackle, Terrence Steele, he's not that good. He's not elite. He's the worst one on the starting group. So, I mean, I think he's the same skill level as those backup guys. If not, the backup guys could be somewhat better, especially interior. I don't understand the Jets not winning football games. That week one against the Steelers, it was like, oh, this team is going to be good. They'll be an AFC East contender. 4 weeks later after that, it is now they are actually the worst team in the NFL because they're 0-5 and every other team has won a game, including the Titans. So I don't know why the Jets are cursed. It sucks for football because you want to see a team go from the butt fumble to now being a playoff contender, but they're not. It's a rough year for them. Hopefully they'll get over it. I hope Aaron Glenn stays. I hope everything will stay because I know that they will be good. It's just, I don't know why they aren't. I mean, Aaron Glenn is the play caller on defense. Maybe his scheme isn't going along with what they had in previous years, and they're just used to Saleh and Ulbrich, and it just isn't meshing well. We'll have to see how that goes out, but this is not a good season for them.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be an interesting storyline for sure. And now moving on to the Denver Broncos traveling to the Eagles, and what was a really, really inspiring late comeback in this game for the Broncos to win this one. That was really good stuff from Bo Nix this game late. Really good stuff from J.K. Dobbins. And I want to talk about Courtland Sutton. He's just been playing, like, at such an elite level this year that I think he's having the best year of his career with as old as he is. But, yeah, I've just been really, really impressed with Courtland Sutton this year. And then Denver's defense, of course, you know, they have number one turnover differential in the league. They're leading the league in sacks by, like, six sacks, I think. And they've just continued to look really good. A guy that I talked about going into the season was Nick Benito. He's just looked absolutely dominant this year. I mean, he had 2.5 sacks against that really stout Eagles offensive line on Sunday. So I was really impressed with that. And then Zach Allen as well, the other defensive end for the Denver Broncos, has looked really good. Philly, on the other hand, it was definitely nice to see Jalen Hurts air it out a little bit. You know, he did get the ball to Devontae Smith. You know, he got the ball to A.J. Brown, but I'd still like to see more than 43 yards for A.J. Brown. And I just don't really understand what's going on with Saquon this year. And the Eagles' run game, I mean, is the Madden curse real?
Six carries, 30 yards.
I mean.
And you're up most of the game.
Yeah, I just don't understand it at all. Like, how are you only giving Saquon Barkley six carries? And then the Eagles' defense, on the other hand, has continued to look really good. They played another really good game. It's just Denver kind of, they had a really nice run in the fourth quarter. The Eagles' defense kind of collapsed in that fourth quarter. And I'm honestly not very surprised with the outcome of this game. I think that the Eagles are kind of fraudulent, so. Yeah.
I'm glad they lost. It's just better for football when Nick Sirianni can't yell at fans' faces. I don't know what this is going to mean for the Eagles, but they have to get A.J. Brown the football. They have to get Devonta Smith the football. They have to get Saquon Barkley the football. They have the best O-line, or probably the best O-line in the NFL. And they aren't utilizing them in the right fashion. I mean, last year against the Rams in the NFC Championship game, how many times did Saquon touch the ball? I mean, I don't know what they're doing. And the Broncos played a great game from start to finish. Or not, they finished better. They started out a little rough, but Bo Nix looked just as better passer than Jalen Hurts did, maybe a better quarterback this game than Jalen Hurts did, because it did not look like it got better, and then it got sloppy by the Eagles, and it's the inconsistencies and it's small things that are going to ruin their season. And I'm not surprised if they don't win the NFC East, because they might start to go downhill again like they did 2 years ago when they were like 11-2 or something and they just dropped all their games. So we'll see how that plays out.
All right, now moving on to the Miami Dolphins traveling to the Carolina Panthers, and was expected to be a pretty underwhelming game, that ended up being a really great game. The Panthers did win this one. I think the Dolphins should have won this one. I'm not giving any credit to Bryce Young. All credit goes to Rico Dowdle. You know, when you rush for 200 yards on the ground, you're getting all the credit. I mean, Bryce Young continued to just look not very good, making really bad reads this game. So Rico Dowdle really carried that Panthers offense, and you know, maybe the Cowboys would love to have a guy like Rico Dowdle right now.
Maybe Jonte Williams. It seems
I don't know. But Bryce Young, he did continue to get the ball to Tetrell McMillan. He's been probably the second best rookie receiver behind, of course, Emeka Ibuka. And the Dolphins, on the other hand, Tua played another really good game. So I can't complain about that. He did a nice job of getting the ball to Jalen Waddle. And it's just like, it looks like Darren Waller is like revived to his prime all of a sudden coming out of retirement, which is pretty interesting to see. Definitely very surprising. And just both defenses for these teams just continue to look really underwhelming. So can't say I'm surprised with the outcome of this game. But Bryce Young did not play a great game. They won in spite of Bryce Young.
This was the Tua you wanted to see coming back from losing the star receiver. I don't know why or how the Panthers won this game. It just, they won because Rico Dowdle turned into Derrick Henry, 2016 Ezekiel Elliott, Saquon Barkley last year. I mean, you can go for a number of guys, but he was just playing great football. I don't know how Bryce Young experiment's going to go. It's not looking like it's been the best experiment. I don't know what they do with him. I mean, he's 5'11". He has not proven to be any good. Would someone like the Raiders take a chance on him in a couple years? Maybe, maybe not. But they might need a new quarterback. But they also haven't really given him the best of weapons. I mean, they just drafted him wide receiver. Rico Dowdle as their RB1 isn't the best thing in the world, but I guess it's passable. And is their defense all that? I don't think so. So if they build around him more, maybe he'd have more success, because Caleb Williams got it built around, and he's still built around. Because they got guards in the offseason. They're building around him. Like, he's really the franchise guy, but since the Panthers have pride Bryce Young, they haven't really built around him like a franchise guy.
100%, and I just don't think Bryce Young really has that, like, X factor to be a good quarterback in the NFL. I think he's just going to continue to struggle. And, all right, now moving on to the Houston Texans traveling to Baltimore playing the very injured Ravens. But even in spite of all those injuries, the Texans looked really, really good. That was the best game for C.J. Stroud since his rookie year, for sure.
Yep.
Now, I do get that Baltimore was without Marlon Humphrey and Kyle Hamilton in that second year, but you still got to give C.J. Stroud some credit there. Nick Chubb played his best game of the year. I was kind of surprised that Woody Marks played in a really limited role after he kind of exploded last year.
It was very frustrating.
Yeah. And C.J. Stroud did a nice job of spreading the wealth to his receivers. A guy that I do want to highlight that I've been really surprised with this year is Xavier Hutchinson. I know this week he only had 18 yards, but he's been really good this year. But he caught 2 touchdowns this week. I think he's been a really nice, interesting storyline. You know, he was a really, really good wide receiver coming out of Iowa State a few years ago, and it's been nice to watch him kind of break out this year. And the Ravens, on the other hand, I mean, I don't think that Cooper Rush fits very well in that system.
No.
I almost think that they should be trotting Tyler Huntley out there. I think he's a better fit. And, yeah, I think the outcome, it really showed in the outcome. Derrick Henry has continued the past few weeks to just look old and useless. 15 carries for only 33 yards. I mean, you can't have that. And then Baltimore's defense, just obviously they have a lot of injuries, but they struggled mightily. I mean, they are without probably their 4 best players on defense. So there's kind of an asterisk next to this game, of course, but they still struggled very, very badly. And yeah, I'm not really surprised, but I was surprised to see how great of a game CJ Stroud played.
Yeah, this is what you wanted to see from CJ Stroud. Look, it was just good start to finish. Nico was looking good. I mean, the team was just looking good. Now, this Ravens team is bottom of the barrel. It is one of the worst teams in the NFL. It doesn't show a lot. You're used to hearing the Ravens being, oh, they're one of the best teams in the league this year. I think this year is their down year. This year to tank, get Caleb Downs, and build the secondary back up. I don't know what coaches are thinking putting Cooper Rush in there. He didn't look good in the last week against the Chiefs. And now he didn't look good at all. You got to take him out. You got to get a scrambler or someone that can fit your system better at least. Just to have a competent team, even if you don't want to win games because Lamar's hurt, you still have to have a quarterback that can fit your scheme. Don't do anything defensively if you're trying to lose games because you need a better draft pick. I don't think they're in playoff contention for the rest of the season anymore. It's just... If Lamar's out only this game, they might still be in it. But if he's out for the next 2 games, they're not in playoff contention. They should just go full tank. Give Lamar a back injury and just let him sit out for the rest of the season. I mean, it's going to be a rough year for them.
100%. At 1-4, I just don't see them coming back in what seems to be a pretty stacked AFC this year. All right, and now moving on to what was probably
most embarrassing,
a really, really
most
crazy game. And, yeah, probably most embarrassing loss I've ever seen, the Titans beating the Cardinals. I mean, there's so many different plays you can talk about this game. You can talk about the Amari DiMercado dropping
the
ball
only
as he
one
walks
you,
into the end zone.
Only you can, one you need to talk about.
Well, you can also talk about, for sure, Cam Ward throwing a pick, and then the Cardinals player fumbling it, and then another Cardinals player kicking it into the end zone where Tyler Lockett jumps on it for a touchdown, which was pretty bad. I mean, between those 2 plays, I don't know which is worse. Yeah, I mean, the Cardinals obviously played the better game. They were about to jump to a 28-6 lead, and honestly, that's one of the worst collapses I've ever seen. I mean, to the Titans, who, to start the year, the Titans have looked like probably one of the worst NFL teams I've ever watched. And
congrats to them.
Yeah, I mean, congrats. I mean,
they found a way to win.
They found a way to win. I mean, they definitely got some help from the Cardinals, but yeah. Yeah, I mean, not much to say. I mean, that was just awful from the Cardinals. I mean, especially with it, they're in probably what's been the most competitive division this year in the NFL, and I mean, you can't have mistakes like that when you're fighting in that stacked NFC West. And I mean, now they've dropped to last place in the NFC West, and I mean, come on, y'all got to do better than that. So I'm not giving up on the Cardinals, but that was embarrassing, and I hope that was a wake-up call for them.
I mean, this is back-to-back weeks we've had 76 yards to the end zone, and you dropped the football.
Yep.
I don't understand why do you drop the football before the end zone? It's not even a good celebration to drop it before. Run it in, throw it wherever you want, The ref will pick it up. Don't drop it before the end zone where anyone can pick it up. Or well, it goes out the back of the end zone, and then you get a and you get a touchback. I don't – what is your thought process? And then the pick. Cam Ward, he makes his rookie mistakes. That's fine. You catch a pick. You fumble the pick. But you catch it, and then you drop it because you're like, I actually don't want this anymore. Why do you kick the football? Why did you not just hold on to it and fall on it? Why can't you – why are you not playing football? Why are you not being an athlete? Why is your brain deciding to kick the football into the end zone where anyone can pick that up and potentially score a touchdown or get a safety? It's a lose-lose situation for you. It's not even the players at some point. Sometimes it's the coaches too. And it's you just got to be more disciplined. I mean, you saw Jonathan Gannon on the sideline. I don't know what it was, punching Emmy DeMarcado in the chest, slapping him in the chest. That's not good either. This whole Cardinals team is – this might be the start of the end. I mean, that is an embarrassing way to lose. You lost to the worst team in the NFL the past 5 years. That is embarrassing.
100%. And with the Jonathan Gannon thing that you were talking about, I think that type of coaching can kind of work maybe at the high school level, maybe the college level. But I think by the time you're in the NFL, it doesn't really work.
He's a grown man.
You're talking to a grown man. So,
Emmy DeMarcado could beat Jonathan Gannon up. That is the worst idea you could do.
Yeah, 100%. And now moving on to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers traveling to Seattle, playing the Seahawks in what was possibly game of the week. Both quarterbacks played exceptional games until obviously Sam Darnold had that late interception that kind of lost in the game. But, I mean, credit to both quarterbacks. Both of them looked really, really good this game. Baker Mayfield continues to have a dominant year. Emeka Ibuka, this is possibly the best rookie wide receiver season we've seen since probably Justin Jefferson. This might even end up being better. He's been just exceptional this year. And on the Seahawks side of the ball, JSN has just stepped up. You know, we got two Ohio State guys who have just stepped up and proven to be premier guys in the NFL this year. Rashad White, I mean, he's obviously not Bucky Irving, so he struggled filling in for Bucky Irving. Only 2.9 yards a carry, so that's all right. The Buccaneers should hopefully get Bucky Irving back this week. Seahawks, Kenneth Walker has continued to look really, really good. I don't think he should be splitting carries with Charbonnet the way that he is.
No.
I get they like using Charbonnet for short yardage situations, but I think Kenneth Walker can do that as well. So, it is what it is. Both defenses, obviously, just looking at the scoreboard, they both struggled this game. So, not much to say there. I think play of the game was definitely the late interception by Levante David to steal the game. After Sam Darnold had played an exceptional game, and he flipped the script with that late pick. And yeah, I'm not really surprised. The Buccaneers are a really good team this year, and they're gonna battle it out for the NFC.
This is my other MVP pick right now. I mean, the two guys leading it in my mind, even though I know there's gonna be more popular votes because MVP is more of a popularity contest than an actual stats contest. Because if that was a stats contest, a couple years ago, Dak would have beaten out Lamar for the MVP. But Baker Mayfield, he has been balling out. He first came over to Tampa Bay. I was talking to my Tampa Bay friend. Like he's a big back at Buccaneers fan. He's like, I'm excited about Baker Mayfield. And I was like, I'm not. He's not going to be the guy that everyone thinks he's going to be, first overall pick. And I have been proven wrong, and I have been on his team ever since that first season, because he's been playing exceptional football. Both these guys have been written off. They're both former number one overall picks. And they come out and play one of the best games of the season so far. I mean, that's incredible. I mean, they just go to different teams, better scheme fits, and now they're playing, like, number one overall picks. That was an incredible game to watch. Emeka Ibuka is going to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. And I was wrong about him, too. I thought coming out, he's going to be the wide receiver two, wide receiver three. He's not going to have a great impact, but he'll have some good plays, and he could be good. I said Ashton Gentry is going to win the Offensive Rookie of the Year, and it is not going to be Ashton Gentry. It's going to be Emeka Ibuka.
100%, and I think he's kind of running away with that Offensive Rookie of the Year award right now, and I don't think it's particularly close. All right, now moving on to the Lions playing the Bengals. Jake Browning, you know, last week they made him play a little bit more conservatively. He didn't really air it out. This week they let him air it out again, and guess what? He threw three picks. So I mean, you can't win football games when you throw three picks. Detroit, on the other hand, has continued to just look really, really good ever since that week one loss to the Packers. And I think Jared Goff is another guy that can be in that MVP conversation. I mean, obviously he has a ton of talent around him, but I mean, he's playing at a very high level this year. He's having one of his best years yet, and I don't think that should go under the radar the way that it kind of is. Detroit's defense played a really nice game. Terrion Arnold played a really great game, but unfortunately he is going to be out for a while with an injury, which is unfortunate. Aiden Hutchinson is continuing to look really dominant after coming back from that broken leg last year, so that's been nice to see. But yeah, Detroit has just continued to look like a dominant force in the NFC.
This won't take long. The Bengals are terrible. The Lions are really good. This game showed that Jake Browning should not be the best backup in the NFL like everyone thought 2 years ago. He's not the same quarterback. He doesn't have the same O-line, and there is no O-line, really. They might be better off putting five more receivers out there and just letting them block and release for a pass instead of having a lineman out there, because it is atrocious what they're trying to do. I mean, put 10 skill guys out there and try to run the annexation of Puerto Rico, because there is no hope for this team to win games without an O-line like this.
100%. And speaking of offensive line, we're moving on to the Commanders at the Chargers. And I mean, we've just seen over the past couple weeks the Chargers have fallen apart, and I think they've fallen apart with their offensive line falling apart. I mean, coming into the season, you look at the Chargers, Rashawn Slater at left tackle, Joe Alt at right tackle. They brought in Mekhi Becton from the Eagles to play guard.
Great line.
Trey Pipkins at center. And I mean, they're all injured now. I mean, especially they were doing fine without Rashawn Slater for the first few games of the season. You know, they moved Joe Alt over to left tackle, but once we saw Joe Alt go down
a couple weeks ago, it's been
awful. I mean, Justin Herbert just has – he's under so much pressure. They can't run the ball. Now Amarian Hampton's going on the IR. You don't have a running back really anymore. I mean, you have Hassan Haskins as your RB1
and then
after losing what was hoping to be one of the best running back duos in the NFL coming into the season.
Yeah.
It's kind of upsetting to see, because this team has – it still has so much potential. They just have got to figure out the offensive line now with all those injuries. I think Joel should be back relatively soon. He had a high ankle sprain, I think. Rashawn Slater is obviously still up for the season. And I don't really know what's the story with Mekhi Becton when he'll be back, but they've got to figure something out. Jaden Daniels, on the other hand, he looked really good in his return. He was playing with the knee brace, so he wasn't able to get as much going on the ground. He still ran for 40 yards, which was nice to see. Deebo Samuel has really stepped up with the Terry McLaurin injury. He had another almost 100-yard game. Jaden Daniels threw an absolute dime to Luke McCaffrey for 50 yards this game, and the Commanders, I don't think it's time to count them out in that NFC East. I think it's still going to be competitive between the Eagles, Commanders, and Cowboys, so we'll see where that goes. Commanders, I do want to shout out Von Miller. He looked pretty revitalized that game. He went for a sack and a half on Justin Herbert, obviously against a pretty weak O-line right now, but credit where credit's due.
Yeah, this kind of reminded me of last year with Jaden Daniels. It looked really good from start to finish. The Chargers are done for. I mean, they were going to be a team that wins the AFC West, and now it's really just up to the Broncos to run away with that and hold on to the lead.
It's going to be the Chiefs. Trust me.
The Chiefs are not going to make the playoffs. That's still my pick. It's always been my pick. I think it's definitely going to be scary, but I think I could be right. I don't know, or they'll be the seventh seed, but I really don't want to see them in there, and it's possible. Yeah, this is not a great Chargers team anymore. They don't have any weapons around Justin Herbert. Quentin Johnston's playing good football. I mean, the best football of his career so far. Ladd McConkey's disappeared off the radar. So you don't have a lot to look forward to as a Chargers fan. As a Commanders fan, you're still competitive. You're in the NFC East. You can win the NFC East easily by just winning against bad teams, because the Eagles and the Cowboys can't win against bad teams, apparently. So it should be a good season for the Commanders and a bad season for the Chargers.
Yeah, 100%. Now moving on to what was a really exciting and good Sunday night football game. We had the New England Patriots traveling to Buffalo to play the Bills. Drake May is looking like he's really blossoming this year. He's looking like he's turning into an elite quarterback. He's reminding me of young Justin Herbert this year. like rookie year Justin Herbert. And I've been just really impressed. And another guy that I want to shout out is Stephon Diggs. Over the last couple weeks, he's really blossomed into their number one wide receiver. He had a great game in his return game to Buffalo. 10 receptions for 146 yards. And I'm really impressed with what Drake May is doing this year. I think he's really proving he could potentially end up being the best guy out of that class. I mean, that's going to be a really stacked quarterback class no matter what. But I think he really could be the guy that comes out and proves to be the best out of that group. Bills, on the other hand, Josh Allen played a really good game again. 250 through the air, 50 on the ground. So you can't necessarily complain about that, but you can't be dropping division games like that when you're the better team. I'm not worried about the Bills. I think they'll be fine. But, yeah, I mean, it's tough to drop a division game like that. So not much to say. The Bills will be fine, but that was a great win for the Patriots.
Let's make sure the Bills work on ball security drills. Two lost fumbles right there. It's a tough way to win a game, especially in such a close game. And then I'm scared about one thing about New England, and that's their rush offense. They aren't really utilizing Trevon Henderson. Ramondre Stevenson isn't good. We've known that for about a year or two. They can't run the ball. I wouldn't be scared by their running attack, whoever they play. I would focus more on stopping Stephon Diggs and keeping Drake May in the pocket, make the Patriots prove they can run the ball, because right now they can't really run the ball. And maybe some of that was the Bills' defense just doing the same thing that I just said, but they did not stop Stephon Diggs. Yeah, I mean, you just can't lose games like that when the Bills. They'll be fine. They'll still win the AFC East, but it'll be a tight race for the AFC East win.
100%. And now moving on to what was a great game last night on Monday Night Football. We had the Kansas City Chiefs going to Jacksonville to play the Jaguars. I think this game showed me that the Jags are legit. I'm going to disagree with Brad. I still think that the Chiefs are legit. I still think they make the playoffs. But, yeah, the Jags just looked really, really good last night. Trevor Lawrence played a great game late in the game. He really stepped up. I mean, you talk about on that last drive to score that touchdown, he threw an absolute rope to Brian Thomas along the sideline for 33 yards. Then he threw another absolute rope to Deami Brown. And then obviously you had the stumble, falls on his ass, stumbles again, gets up, runs for the touchdown. I mean, that was an amazing game. And then credit to the Jaguars defense, especially Devin Lloyd. He was already leading the league in interceptions coming into this game, and then he has a 99-yard pick six at the goal line with the Chiefs at the 1-yard line about a score. I mean, talk about a game changer. I mean, that was the game-changing play of this game. That is what won the Jaguars this game, so credit to Devin Lloyd. I don't think it's time to panic on the Chiefs. I think they've looked really good these past couple weeks, and I think this is just – I think Jacksonville's legit. I think it's going to be a really tight race between them and the Colts for that AFC South angle. It's going to be a really competitive division this year, and I can't wait to watch.
The Chiefs did a good job sending on Travis Etienne. He did not have a lot of rushing yards. He didn't really do much. Tyquan Thornton has been the Chiefs' leading receiver for the past couple games now. And, I mean, that's a good thing. Tyquan Thornton is really, really talented. But when Patrick Mahomes is the leading rusher for the Chiefs, that's kind of scary. I mean, Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco both aren't doing anything. That's not a good combo for the Chiefs. And this game says more about the Jags than it does for the Chiefs. But I really don't think the Chiefs are that great of a team. I mean, I think they can be beaten pretty easily. I mean, Steve Spagnuolo is a great coordinator. Andy Reid's great play caller, great offensive mind. But they just don't have some of the talent that they used to have. And I feel like better teams can expose them. And I don't know if the Jags are a better team. They might have just had a stroke of luck tonight, but that was a great game from them. Congrats on the win, because it's a big win for them, moving them to 4-1, leading or tied for the lead in the AFC South. It should be a tight race for the AFC South, but I think the AFC West is all the Broncos right now.
I could see that. And so yeah, that'll do it for the game recap. So we're gonna do some awards this week. Offensive Player of the Week and Defensive Player of the Week. And then we're going to go over maybe one each, one surprising storyline this year that's kind of flown under the radar. So first off, for Offensive Player of the Week, I'm going to give it to Baker Mayfield with I mean, he's playing the best football of his career this year. He has been since he got to Tampa Bay, but this year he's kind of taken it to a whole other level. You know, against the Seahawks, thrown for 379 and 2 touchdowns, no picks. He played a really mistake-free game, and I've just been really impressed with Baker this year.
Yeah, that's a good one. I think it's Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs played a great game, 92.2 PFF grade. He carried them to their win against Buffalo. I mean, he looked like he was playing with Josh Allen there in his years in Buffalo. I mean, it looked really good coming off an ACL tear last year.
All right, now moving on to Defensive Player of the Week. I think it's going to be a tie for me between Nick Benito with 2.5 sacks for the Broncos and then Devin Lloyd, who's just been the best linebacker in coverage this year by far in the NFL, and I don't think it's even close.
Mine's Nick Benito. I mean, 2.5 sacks. He's on track for 24 sacks this season. I mean, the dude's ridiculous. He's lightning quick. I mean, he is amazing. It's like Von Miller.
All right, and sort of my surprising superlative that's kind of flown under the radar this year is if you were to guess, who would you think is number one in total defense in the NFL right now? You probably wouldn't guess it's the Atlanta Falcons. After Sunday, the Atlanta Falcons, even though they're on their bye, they rose to being ranked the number one defense in the NFL, which I think is really flying under the radar. And they're also 7th in total offense. I think of the Falcons just as a whole are kind of flying under the radar, and they play the Bills coming out of the bye. So I think that's going to be an interesting game. And, you know, the Bills are coming off a tough loss, but I think the Falcons are flying under the radar, and specifically that Falcons defense.
Let us remember that the Falcons cannot beat the Panthers.
Hey, that one bad game. You know, that was 2 weeks ago, though, and they came out and had that great game against the Commanders.
Yeah, but it is the Commanders with Marcus Mariota.
Hey, they whooped the Raiders.
Well, they beat the Raiders with Geno Smith throwing probably at least 2 picks. I don't know how this NFL season is going to go for Atlanta, but it'll probably end up being 8-9 or 7-10.
Hey, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, but I think that there's also potential for, you know, 11-6, 10-7, if things go well. And I think it's going to depend on these next two games coming out of the bye. You got Buffalo, the number one seed in the AFC, and then San Francisco, who's tied for the number one seed in the NFC. So we'll see.
Yeah, that's a thought. I mean, I think Tampa Bay is going to win the NFC South, though. That's pretty.
No, I know. I think they're still the favorite as of right now. I think Atlanta could be a wild card, though.
First round exit, right?
I mean, probably, but we'll see. We'll see.
As long as they get there, it'll be fun.
We'll see.
The Cowboys are in the. Wow.
Yeah.
Third in passing.
Leading the league in total offense as well.
Well, they're not surprised about that.
And I think Dak's game is really flying under the radar this year, specifically. Dak Prescott is playing pretty quietly some of the best football of his career, which I have not been very surprised by. I've known that he's a really, really good quarterback. And I think who's calling plays for them over there?
Brian Schottenheimer.
Yeah, Schottenheimer, he's been doing a great job this year, first year as an NFL head coach. I've been really impressed with that. So, yeah, I think that Cowboys offense and Falcons defense are both flying under the radar this far.
Yeah, Schottenheimer's really built a culture around there. Shout out to Shamar James. We didn't really do this in the Cowboys thing. Shamar James, 15 tackles. He looked like the best linebacker on that team this game. I mean, he should be starting next week, too. I don't know. I didn't really see if they utilized Jaden Blue all that much. He should be utilized more in that offense, though. I mean, he seems like he fits.
21.
And is that power ranking?
Yeah.
That's crazy. We'll see how that goes after this week. That is the game that the Cowboys defense needed, though. Those 22 points, 16 of them were garbage time points, so it doesn't really matter. But this is a game that the Cowboys defense needed to step up and assert themselves, not being the 32nd worst defense, but the 31st.
All right, and with that, that'll do it for our 6th episode. It was a great one after what was a very exciting week. We will be back next week recapping everything to expect in week 6. Thank you.